Now let's see God's mercy and his love and forgiveness all combined in one prayer in Daniel, the 9th chapter. This is quite something. Now, once we have in our minds the understanding that when we pray, and it's to our Father, those prayers go to the throne of God in heaven above. And if you read the book of Revelation, the 24 elders have something to do with answering those prayers or managing them or whatever it is coming to God. Okay? Because it says that there was incense with the prayers of the saints on the golden altar. Now here in Daniel, the 9th chapter, I think it's really interesting in what is written here, because think of this, all the time that the Jews were in captivity in Babylon, they knew it was going to be for 70 years. But think of this, there were three invasions over a 20-year period. So how do you figure it? Okay. Well, Daniel didn't understand it until it was time for the first wave of those to go back under the decree of Darius. Actually, it was Cyrus. Okay? Now, let's pick it up here, Daniel 9 and verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years which came according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet. Now, this also tells us he had the writings of Jeremiah, correct? Yes, indeed. That the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. And I set my face toward the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. So there's a time for fasting. There's time for very serious things that need to be petitioned to God, and those require that. And Jesus said that difficult things do not come about except by prayer and fasting. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and awesome God. Now imagine how he felt. He came as a young man, as a captive to Babylon. Here he is, an old man. God had given him these tremendous revelations and things, made him second in the kingdom of Babylon. Okay? And here he's coming to God. Keeping the covenant and mercy to those who love him. Again, see, loving God. And to those who keep his commandments. Now here's the confession. We have sinned. Now notice how this follows along very closely with the model prayer that Jesus gave. You might take that and lay it alongside here and analyze it, you see. And have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled and turned aside from your commandments and from your ordinances. Neither have we hearkened unto your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, to our rulers, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. And that's pretty much where we are right here in the United States today, right? Yes, indeed. Oh, Lord, notice how he comes to God here. Righteousness belongs to you. But to us, confusion of face, as it is this day to the men of Judah, to the people of Jerusalem, and to all Israel who are near and far off, through all the countries where you have driven them because they have dealt treacherously with you. Sound a little like the church today? Yes, indeed. O Lord, confusion of face belongs to us, to our kings and our rulers and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To you, the Lord our God, belongs mercies and forgivenesses, even though we have rebelled against him. See, when there is confession and repentance, God always honors that, and God forgives. Look at how long they had left God, but God received them back. Verse 10, Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel has transgressed your law and have turned aside so that they might not obey your voice. Therefore the curse has been poured out upon us, and the oath that was written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. He has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judge us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven it has not been done, and as it has been done unto Jerusalem. Always remember this. God corrects his own first. We can see many parallels in this in the life of the Church of God in our lifetime, can we not? Yes, indeed. But God always honors repentance. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet we did not make our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Isn't that an interesting phrase? You have to turn from your sin before you understand truth. Now, why is that? Because every way is right in a man's eyes, see? You have to turn from them. It's like I tell people when they don't know about the Sabbath and they still have questions. I say, okay, I give them the four-week Sabbath challenge, which is this. You keep the Sabbath 4 weeks in a row, and every Sabbath you spend a good portion of the day studying about the Sabbath in the Word of God, and then whatever else you want to study too. And then you will see that man is not going to tell God, oh God, we're so good, we're going to change the day. See? And you will understand that if you keep the Sabbath, that's not your work, that's God's work. And you will understand that God will fellowship with us on the Sabbath. God blesses those who assemble in his name in love and service to give them understanding, to comfort them. We'll see that in a little bit here. Okay. Verse 14. Therefore the Lord did not hesitate concerning the evil that he brought upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he does, but we did not obey his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who has brought your people out from the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and has made a name for yourself as it is this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. Wouldn't that be something if something like this came officially out of Washington, D.C.? Yes, indeed. Verse 16, O Lord, I pray you according to all your righteousness. Let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem. And look at it today. What a pitiful, pitiful situation that is. Hatred, blood, violence, war, killing, bombs, rockets. What a magnificent day it's going to be when Christ returns. Okay? Now notice, all of this, confession of sin, and now, he prays for God's mercies. See? Remember, whenever there is repentance and confession of sins, there is mercy. God does forgive even long-standing sins. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and cause your face to shine upon your sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you on account of our righteousnesses, but because of your great mercies. God wants love and mercy and forgiveness. He wants mercy and not sacrifice. And he says, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Do not delay for your own sake, O my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. And then right while he was finishing that prayer, the angel Gabriel came and gave him the 70 weeks prophecy of Jesus coming. Amazing how God answers, see? Notice. And while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin, the sin of my people Israel, presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, came to me about the time of the evening sacrifice. That's quite a thing. This is the prayer we need to pray for God's people today, brethren. We're heading into some really, really difficult times. How they're going to fall, the way they're going to come, we don't know. That's why we have to go to God in this attitude, in this way. Here, let's come to Psalm 130. Psalm 130. Now, this is a prayer when you're overwhelmed with sin and troubles and problems, just like Daniel was. Notice, verse 1. Out of the depths I have cried unto you, O Lord. Felt overwhelmed with sin, problems, troubles, difficulties. Nothing going right. Everything going wrong. Okay? Lord, hearken unto my voice and let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? That's why we need to forgive one another. If we backbite each other all the time, what's going to happen? Who's going to stand? See? Verse 4, remember this, but there is forgiveness with you. God is ready to forgive, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. That's why we study the word of God, so we know it, and we go through the things that we do. And some of them are very difficult indeed. But please, let's understand something. We have not resisted against sin into losing blood yet, have we? Not yet. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait. In his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. I say more than those who watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord. See, because unless there is love and mercy and forgiveness, there is no hope. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plentiful redemption. He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. God will forgive. God will help. God will lift us up. Okay. Now let's come to 2 Corinthians. No. Yeah, 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. And when you go through these things and when you have things you need to repent of and so forth, remember, he is your Father. He loves you. He has called you. He wants you. He wants all of us in his kingdom. Every one of us. And he called us because we're not the great of the world. And he called us because we are the forgotten of the world. And he called us because we are the weak of the world. But if there is strength in God, then we're stronger than the mighty in the world. Now let's pick it up here in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, with all the saints who are in the entire region of Achaia. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, grace is our standing with God. peace, we're not warring with God any longer. Now notice what he says here. After all the trials that he went through, and it says that he went in here, some of them, he just despaired of life. Verse 3 now, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now notice this. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. That's pretty powerful. And when you're in trouble and when you have sin and when you're fighting and overcoming sin, you need to be comforted. Now notice who comforts us in all our tribulation. You look back, all the things you've gone through. What's the purpose of that? In order that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trial through the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And what is the saying? It's always darkest before the dawn, right? All right, let's go on. Let's read this here. "For to the degree that the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. And if we are in distress, it is for your comfort and salvation, which is being worked out by your enduring the same sufferings that we also suffer. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort and salvation, and our hope is steadfast for you." That's what we want. See? "Knowing that as you are partners in the suffering, you are also partners in the comfort. For we do not want you to be ignorant of our tribulations, brethren, even the trials that befell us in Asia, which were exceedingly burdened beyond our own strength, so much so that we even despaired of living. But they were delivered from it." Now let's come to Ephesians, the first chapter, and let's see the great thing that God has done for us and is doing for us, okay? Ephesians, the first chapter, just a few pages over. Now, let me recommend this, that if you have difficulties and problems and are down in the dumps, don't know what to do, you need some encouragement, you get on your knees and you open the Bible to the book of Ephesians. Okay? And you get your mind on the great plan that God has for us individually. He is our Father. We are His children. All right? He has called us. Let's read it here. Verse 1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus." So this is written for all time. "Grace and peace be to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly things with Christ." One of the most important things that we have today, brethren, is the whole Word of God, which until you go back about not quite 500 years ago, the average common person could not have the Bible. And for the English people, William Tyndale was the one who translated the New Testament and later the Old Testament so that the plowboy could have the Word of God and that the plowboy could know more than all of the religious elite. And it opened up a whole new, tremendous way of getting the Word of God out in two forms. One is a witness to the whole world, witness to the children of Israel, and now the Word of God could be solidified so that the church could operate in freedom in America. Now, I've got a booklet at home about the Sabbath. written in 1729. And I remember one phrase there about the religious leaders. And it's very digging, because it's obvious the same thing that we know is the argument concerning Sabbath and Sunday. And he says, the wittingly leaders do not acknowledge the truth, but believe a lie. See? Okay. And I thought that that was really something. Here I have in my hands a booklet written by a man in 1729, and through the power of the printing press and the preservation of things in paper, I can have it in my hand. Well, think about the whole Word of God. We've got the whole Word of God. Well, that's a tremendous thing to realize and understand. See? Okay, that's why we need to be inspired and uplifted by this. That's why we need the love of God, the mercy of God, and the forgiveness of God, and among ourselves as well. Now, verse 4, according as he has personally chosen us. I want you to let those words sink into your heart and mind. See, the Father. What does it say, John 6:44? The Father what? Draws him. Is it to you personally? Is it to me personally? Is it to everyone that God is dealing with personally? Yes, it is. Has personally chosen us for himself before the foundation of the world, meaning his plan was set before the foundation of the world that he would choose. Okay? In order that we might be holy and blameless before him in love. For what purpose? Verse 5. Having predestinated us for sonship. Now, the King James says adoption. Sonship. You have the Spirit of God from the Father himself. You are his children. He's not adopting you. You are going to be his Spirit-born children at the resurrection. See? Sonship to himself through Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his own will. Isn't that magnificent? That's almost more than we can handle, really, when you understand the greatness of what God is doing. To the praise of the glory of his grace, see, wherein he made us objects of his grace in the beloved Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the remission of sins according to the riches of his grace. You must have love, mercy, and forgiveness. All right? Which he has made to abound toward us in all wisdom and intelligence. Now, after viewing the cartoons that Randy got from The Simpsons, there's one that struck me, where Homer has been confronted by God. And Homer asked God, well, what is your purpose? And God supposedly answered him, well, I don't know. Is that about right? Pretty much. Paraphrased. And the sum of it at the end was, well, I'll worship God any way I want to and he will accept me. No, God has something special for what he wants for you. That's why you have to do what he has said, because it's special. See? Now notice this, that in the divine plan for the fulfilling of the times, he might bring all things together in Christ. No, verse 9. I was reading verse 10. Having made known to us the mystery of his own will, the family of God, according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself. Now there is nothing higher or greater or better than what Paul is telling us here for the purpose of our lives. You see? That's why we don't have a religion. Religions are substitutes for God's way. We belong to God. And that's what it's all about. That we love God, that we serve him, that we love one another, and that he grants us these great and magnificent things. Okay? Now let's continue here. See, he has given us the understanding of his will. That is awesome indeed. Now, verse 10, that in a divine plan for the fulfilling of the times, he might bring all things together in Christ, both the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth. Yes, in him, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, having been predestinated according to his purpose, who is working out all things according to the counsel of his own will. That is something. God is involved in our lives that way directly. See? That we might be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom you also trusted after hearing the word of the truth of the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after believing you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Okay? Now, what I want you to understand concerning the forgiveness of God. Let's turn back here to Luke 23. Luke 23. Now, a lot of people have heard a lot about the unpardonable sin. All right. There will be some who will do that. But here in Luke 23, and let's pick it up here in verse 34. Okay? The first saying. There were seven sayings of Jesus while he was on the cross. The first saying. Now, as we're coming up to the Passover, we need to understand about the sacrifice of Christ. What God did because he loved us. What God did because he has forgiven us. See? First thing he said was this, verse 34. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Now, who is that? Pilate, the high priest, the people, those who were shouting, crucify him, those who were standing down below the cross saying, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down from here. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Isn't that something? No. Let's see if we likewise can carry that into our lives and into the things that we perceive with God and study and prayer. And let there be with us love, mercy, and forgiveness. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.